Coco Bear. I say to myself, I'm gonna fix them when I can get the time. But all I've been getting lately is living on my mind. Lately all I've got is living on my mind. Seems that's all I'm thinking about most of the time. But soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles far behind. Lately I've got leaving on my mind. So I guess I should looking for a better place to live, but I can't seem to get excited about the world and what it can give. I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. For what good would a world do me with leaving on my mind? Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Seems that's all I'm thinking about most of the time. But soon
to give these pictures away. I draw the one this morning and the one this afternoon at 4 and the midweek service. And so at the midweek service, we'll give all three of the pictures away to those of you who bring the most visitors. And your visitors will count every time they come. And so you keep track of that, and midweek we'll take care of that sometime during that service. Well, I want to speak to you concerning heaven this morning, a new heaven and a new earth. And so the Bible's full of wonderful promises. But one of the most wonderful is 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And so there's many wonderful things about heaven. And there's many wonderful things that we don't know about heaven and what it will be like, because it's beyond our ability, I think, to really comprehend it. But certainly it will fulfill our greatest longings. It'll dazzle us with its beauty. It will obliterate our greatest problems with its power and with its splendor. It'll be greater than anything we can imagine or dream. It'll be a place of love and joy that will reign unspoiled. God is preparing all this for us. And so, first of all, this morning, I want you to see this. It'll be real. Heaven will be real. John 14, verse 3 says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, and Jesus called it a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Now, unfortunately, heaven has fallen on bad press. by the unsaved world. And the thoughts about heaven to people who are unsaved often go in the direction of sitting on a cloud with a little angel playing a harp behind us as we float along in our celestial couch. And others see it as an unending church service, singing hymns throughout all eternity. Some think of it as a sort of celestial retirement city. And it's so unreal. No wonder many people see it as a place of boredom. Not much to do. Well, or they might secretly say to themselves, is that all there is? I was expecting a whole lot more than this. Well, no, heaven is real. Heaven is real. Then why would God go to the trouble to create a new earth if none were going to live in it? And why would he give us new bodies if we're not going to live in a material world? So heaven is a real place. Heaven is going to be a real place with real, meaningful, rewarding work for us to do. Heaven will be the fulfillment of the Lord's prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not only that, but heaven will be right. It's going to be real, but it's also going to be right. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Heaven will be right. It'll be a place of righteousness, or maybe a proper term would be rightness. It'll be a place of rightness. All the wrongs of this world will be made right. It'll be a place where everything evil is absent and everything good is present. Everything sad will be gone. Only joy will exist. Everything disappointing will disappear. Everything exciting will appear. Everything depressing will be gone, and everything hopeful will come. Everything violent will be gone, and everything born of love will prevail. Every unfaithfulness will be in the past, and steadfast loyalty will be present. Everything detestable will be gone, and everything desirable will abide with us. Every sickness will be gone, and complete wholeness will take over our lives. Every wrong done to you in this world will be made right. Every injustice will be met with justice. Every sorrow will be reversed, and joy will wash over you like a waterfall. Isaiah 65 and verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. You might have heard about that older man and his wife who were in a nursing home, and they both died on the same day. And as they walked up there to the gate of heaven, there was an angel there to meet them. And he says, I've been assigned to show you around. And so just follow me. And so the angel took them over to the greatest, biggest, most luscious golf course that they'd ever seen. And they said, you can play on this golf course day and night and not get tired. In fact, there is no night in heaven. It's daytime all the time. Just play and play and play, and you'll never wear out. And then over here we have the largest salad bar you've ever seen in your life. It'll make Golden Corral look sick. It just stretches on into infinity. As far as the eye can see, we've got fried chicken, we've got turkey, we've got steak, we've got mashed potatoes, we've got beans, we've got German chocolate cake, we've got $50 cheesecakes, we've got it all. And you can eat all you want, never gain any weight. Don't worry about it. And the man said to his wife, this is all your fault. If it hadn't been for you and your health food, we'd have been here 10 years ago. Well, not only that, but heaven will be relational according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 52. It'll be relational. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's got to be in half of all the nurseries in America. They're not all sleeping, of course, but they all have to be changed sooner or later. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In 1991, Eric Clapton lost his 5-year-old son, Connor, after he fell from a window on the 49th floor of his Manhattan apartment. Clapton poured out his grief in a song that he wrote, and he called the song Tears in Heaven. And in the song, he writes this: would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would you be the same if I saw you in heaven? Now, there is a lot of people that would like to have the answer to these questions. And the truth is, you will meet again. Those who are saved will meet again. Those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior will meet again. Lost loved ones who have gone on before and are saved, or those who have lost loved ones and have gone on before, and those who are saved. Our relationships will not be lost. They will be regained and renewed. We will experience these relationships, however, on a much higher level than we do today in this world. Our relationship with God will be healed as well. No more will our love for God be compromised by our love for ourselves and the enchantment with the things of this world. Our love for God and our relationships with Him will be unspoiled. We'll no longer struggle with sin and temptation. Our relationships with God will be intimate, so intimate that the Bible says and compares it to in Revelation, it describes it as a bride coming to her husband full of love and passion, with arms wide open. Not only that, but heaven will be rewarding. In Revelation 22 and verse 12, the Bible says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. And so let us say that you've done the very best you can to live for the Lord, yet nothing has gone right for you. Your health, however, is bad, and your finances are even worse. Your children have made nothing but bad choices in life, and your relationships are unfulfilling. And you want to say to the psalmist, or with the psalmist, in Psalm 73 and verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. It all seems so unfair. That's a word people are using all the time today, is that everything's unfair. It's unfair. Where's all the justice in this? Well, friend, justice is not very far away. But it does not always happen in this world. Things do not always play out all the way in this world. There are some things that play out in the next world. But it all will be made right. Every sacrifice you've made will be rewarded. Every sorrow you have experienced will be dispelled with countless joy. Every rejection will be overcome by an explosion of love. Every work for the Lord is going to be rewarded. Finally, heaven will be the residence of God Himself. Revelation 21 and verse 3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Now I believe as we enter into heaven, we're going to take one look around and say, this is what I've been longing for all my life. And the reason that I love this old world so much was that it looked a little bit like this. Even in the sin-tainted fallen world, friend, there are some places, there are some scenes that are so beautiful, it can take your breath away. We can only but imagine, if that's true of a sin-fallen earth, a sin-fallen creation, how beautiful heaven's going to be. Far more beautiful than we can imagine even. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him that is athirst say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So today I want to draw for you and illustrate what it might look like in heaven. The Bible describes it as a city. And there's only one way to get there, and that's by way of the cross. Let's have all the lights out, please.
My heavenly home is
Thank you.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is way to know as I onward go.
Let's all stand together, the lights on. How about you? I wonder if there's a man or a woman or a boy or girl who might say, "Preacher, I really don't know where I'm going to go when I die. I have no assurance I'm going to heaven." Now, mind you, I'm not asking whether you're a member of a church or not, or whether you've ever been baptized. Those things are good, but that's not what saves us. I'm asking you, have you ever been born again? Jesus told Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." I wonder, as our heads are bowed, if there is someone here who might raise their hand and say, "Preacher, include me in your prayer today. I'm not sure, but I am interested enough about my salvation that I'd ask you to pray for me." Is there someone like that today? Just leave it, let your hand be raised right now, if you will. Then put it right back down. Say, "Include me in your prayer, preacher." Anybody like that? Father, we're grateful for your goodness and your mercy to us. Help us to see that life is short and eternity is long. And help us to warn others all around us of the judgment to come and to be prepared for it. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to sing "Just As I Am," and maybe you'd just like to come and pray this morning. Perhaps you need to join this church. Whatever your need, you're invited to come as we sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, oh, shed for me. Come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
All right, Pastor.
Thank you for the hope of heaven, and a person can have reservations set there. Thank you for that great promise of the Word, and I just pray that you'd help us to appreciate that great promise. And if by chance somebody hasn't accepted that reservation through Jesus Christ, that they do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we are...